Big transfer news today.
Who's moving?
Me. To the couch. With Domino's best deal ever since they just added stuffed crust.
Any pizza, any toppings, now with stuffed crust for $9.99.
It's a long-term contract with no release clause.
Only $9.99? Yeah, that sounds like the move. I'm heading straight to
Domino's.
Prices higher for some locations. Excludes XL and specialty pizzas. Select this offer from 6/15 through 7/26. Online only. Size availability varies by crust type. Max 7 toppings, 6 for pan and New York style crust. Minimum purchase required for delivery. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Today on The Grave Talks, part two of When We Spoke to the Dead, a conversation with author Elise S. Carter. And I think that we look at it through the current lens, but yeah. When you go back into the 1860s with the spiritualist movement, having a seance was a thing. It wasn't unusual. It wasn't necessarily even that weird. Now, not saying that everybody did it, but, you know, now to go, exactly. Everybody's coming over to have a seance. We're trying to connect with my uncle Saturday night. You want to come over? Let's see if you can connect with somebody. People might think, well, that's really weird. Carol's having a seance Saturday night. But back then, it really wasn't that unusual.
Yeah. And so I think you have to view it as an object of its time. And I personally think, no, I'm a woman who writes a lot of women's histories and reads a lot. We tend to be very dismissive of anything that is female run or female centered. Mm. And it was by no means a women's only movement, but it was very centered on women. And there were some powerful women in it. And so I think it's very easy for other historians to either dismiss it as like, crazy lady stuff, or it was a fringy movement. It's not even worth remembering. So I think it's kind of important to take a look at it again.
Yeah.
And look at, you know, what was going on then, what is going on now, you know, how are these two things related?
When do you see, I mean, there's still spiritualism today. Those practices are still going on today. There yes. are people having seances Saturday night. It's not happening in my house. But, you know, a lot of what they did then is still going on. You know, you look at today and there's paranormal investigations all the time. We talk about this stuff all the time on this show. But the spiritualist movement itself kind of started fading away. And at a point, that kind of goes into the background. Like, people don't really want to talk about things like that. When do you kind of see the decline start?
I think there are a couple things. I think we have another mass death event, which is, well, two of them actually concurrently, which is World War I and the influenza pandemic. And I think you have to look at, I think America in the 20s is like, it's the between the wars, the 20s and 30s, I think are a really fascinating period in American culture. But the thing of it is like, the younger generation becomes, there's the fading away just of anything that smacks of Victorianism that is just considered old-timey, because Americans become obsessed with modernity. We're like a very prosperous nation, and everybody, we've got our Model T's and we've got movies and radio, and we're just very excited about, you know, electric vacuums and mixers and stuff like that. Like, just very excited about the future. And because it's viewed as very old-fashioned, and we've just, you know, lost a, you know, the lost generation of young men and women after World War One, they just don't carry it on. It's just, it seems like their grandma's dusty old, you know, parlor trick. It's just not that interesting to them. So I think that's one thing. The other thing is, I don't blame Houdini entirely, of course, but people like Houdini. Like, Houdini was a major celebrity. He had had his own experience and disappointment with spiritualism, trying to contact his mother. He loved his mother, and he was just destroyed after she died. It doesn't work out. You know, he does not have a good experience with it, and I think he feels really ripped off about it. Like, he's mad. And he's also someone who's very press savvy. So debunking becomes his jam. Like, that's his thing. And, you know, they still talk about it to this day. If you go to Lilydale, they're like, yeah, you know, Houdini used to come here, and he used to come in disguise, and he would jump up from the table and scream, you know, I'm Harry Houdini and you're a fraud. So it became a big thing for him. So we were just like, well, this really smart, celebrated escapist genius doesn't believe in it. Neither should we, because it's, you know, that's of the past. And we have telephones now, you know, in every home, and it's nonsense. So I think America just kind of moves beyond that moment where it made sense for them. Again, it becomes kind of something that your grandma was into, mm-hmm. and previous, you know, the generations that come later don't have any space for it. The other thing to fold in there is that death becomes pathologized. People used to die at home, and you were nursed by your mom or your daughter or your sister. Now people die in hospitals. They die out of sight. And they are whisked away by funeral care professionals, and you never touch the body, and you may never see it. Not only, and we're living longer, you know, we have vaccines and CPR and, you know, better plumbing and all these things that are helping us live longer. Death is not such an everyday thing. In fact, we come to really hate it and hate talking about it and hate thinking about it. We find it ghoulish.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than sort of a reality that we all have to deal with. So we kind of seal it away, you know, like it kind of becomes the abandoned house of popular culture. And, you know, even when you think of a haunted house, you think of a broken down Victorian. You never think of an Art Deco haunted house, which would be super cool. I'm a big fan of it myself, aesthetically, but we tend to think of them as maudlin and ghoulish, and it's just the culture moves on. So I think there are a lot of things that go on with us. You know, we move to the suburbs, and like, I don't know that anybody's ranch house is haunted in the same way that if you have a house with an attic, it's haunted. But if you have a house with a finished basement, it's kind of not, doesn't have that lived in souls have passed through here feeling.
Do you also think that, just as with anything you can even think of today, when it becomes popular, everybody jumps on the bandwagon? They see these people are making money through spiritualism and having seances, and they're talking at different events, and they're making money. So,
oh yeah,
do you see other people kind of jumping on the bandwagon? And then that's when it's like, Elise isn't really one. She's like faking this whole thing. You've been exposed, so therefore the whole movement is kind of...
Oh, yeah, that's definitely part of it, is that, you know, people learn... It's interesting because if you watch The Gilded Age this season, it had a subplot of a spiritualist. And I have an acquaintance who's on the show, and I was like, actually, I don't think this is accurate. And, you know, obviously she didn't write it, so I don't know why I'm annoying poor Ashley with it. But, you know, it was, I was like, you know,
like, I don't think that's accurate. Like, I'm being that nerd about it.
But you did write a book on the subject.
I know, because I am that nerd. I am the nerd on this particular thing. Yeah, and it's interesting, and I had this conversation recently with Bridget Marquardt. It's like, things are different when men take them over versus women taking them over. It's not better or worse, for the, you know, that's not to say better or worse, it's to say different. and ghost hunting is like now a more techie skill. You know, you got all these, you got gadgets you can take with you, and it's like going into abandoned buildings, and it's sort of this extreme sport of like running yeah. down crumbling hallways. But also, yeah, I mean, this is not to say there wasn't tons of fraud. There was. I am in this place where I am A, looking at it as just as a historian and not a scientist or a debunker. So I do try and give people a little grace for their belief. But also, I am not making excuses. There was a ton of fraud, and there are people who do take advantage. Because you're meeting people in a very vulnerable state. Like, if you're coming to it because you've lost a child, and you would do anything to talk to that child again, or a husband, or whatever it is, you know, that's people take advantage of that, and that's terrible. And they have no, you know, they have no special powers, and what they're doing is wrong, unequivocally. So yeah, but it's also becomes a thing where it's just, you know, like, honestly, I kind of think the most modern equivalent to it is the wellness movement, where, you know, healthcare is expensive and scary and difficult in this country. And so everyone's like, well, you know, like unscrupulous people are like, I have a supplement for that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I made it in my sink and I have no actual proof of it. But, you know, believe me.
There are a lot of basically snake oil dealers around yeah. these days.
And, you know, magnetic healing was a big part of the spiritualist movement. And at that time, it almost made more sense because doctors still like, I can cut off that leg. But more than that, you're kind of, you know, take some morphine and call me in the morning. You know, we're still leeching. But like, you know, there's not a lot out there for in terms of relief. So it did at least make a little more sense then, but now, you know, like, medicine has worked really hard to keep you alive. I think that's its kind of its modern, in a lot of ways, its modern analog, because it's faith-based, and we are facing problems we don't have immediate solutions for. And people take advantage of that.
But you can look good if you use this cream.
Yeah.
You will get
yeah.
rid of all you know, the fine lines
yeah, oh,
and wrinkles.
Yeah, our fear of aging is insane. Yeah. I mean, I was a copywriter for skincare for years, and our fear of aging in America is just insane. I think we got, you know, you sort of have to look at it through that perspective and just be like, well, okay, is this person taking advantage of my situation? You know, what is their level of genuine belief? And even if their belief is genuine, does that make a difference? So I think there are still things that are passed down to us from the spiritualist movement. Even stuff like, if you read your horoscope every day or your tarot card, spiritualism kind of made that possible.
Mm-hmm.
Because these were occult in the original sense of the word. They were hidden practices. I think spiritualism really kind of made it okay. And there's some bad parts to that, and there's some good parts to that.
One thing I found interesting in the book was it wasn't just a dive into the history of the spiritualist movement. It wasn't just looking at people talking to ghosts and seances and all this stuff. You actually kind of took your own journey physically
yeah.
too, which I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, a couple of my favorite writers, I was very, years ago, it's kind of late in the interview to mention this, but I am also a professional sideshow performer, so I do have a sense
actually,
of that.
I have a note that before yeah. we hang up, I want to ask you about that.
Yeah, but just, I bring that up just because I do have a sense of how stuff like cold, I can't do it, but I do understand how cold reading works and how things like that, like cold reading and what they call physical mediumship, so, you know, floating horns, you know, floating instruments, unseen hands, how all that works. So I have a certain sympathy for that. But it also, so just to say that, years ago, I had an agent, I was actually writing a totally different book. And she's like, well, what do you want to be when you, you know, and I was like, oh, I want to be the Sarah Vowell of sideshows. Because there are a lot of writers I like who actually have their own voice within their work. And I like Sarah Vowell, and I like Caitlin Dowdy, and I mm-hmm. like Miroch, who writes on science. And within their discovery is, or they're explaining a history or something about science to you, they're experiencing the wonder of it too. And I started this book because I lost my dad to COVID, and I was, you know, just devastated by his loss. You know, it was, I love my dad. And so part of it is like, was my own question of like, how can, you know, like what takes away the burden of grief or what lessens it? I remain somewhat cynical, but I also have an enormous empathy for why people seek these things out. Mm-hmm. And for some of the practitioners I met were just wonderful people, and they, you know, were not, you know, like clicking their heels to go, ha ha ha, I got them. Like, their belief is sincere, and they're, you know, the people they work with, they're professional, you know, in just a therapeutic way, in the way that other people provide, you know, other forms of therapy. You know, I, again, I'm threading a needle here because I want to give people the grace of their own belief, but also, you know, I have my own skepticism.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I come back to it as a historian, but I'm also a person who lives in this world, and I'm a person who writes books about American weirdness, for lack of a better term, because I love it. And, you know, how America deals with different things. And I wrote a whole book on the history of lipstick in America, because it was just this great way of viewing how we talk to women and what we tell them they want and what they want, what they don't want, and like all these interesting things. And spiritualism struck me as another one of those lenses. Like, you know, we don't talk about, you know, like COVID, they ran a body count literally on the TV for the longest time, and it just disappeared. And it seldom comes up anymore, except for like the fight around vaccines.
Oh, and I am a woman who is dealing with long COVID. So
yeah,
it's like, it's a thing. And that happened this year. It's like, it's the craziest thing. Like, other people are like, yeah, what's COVID? I'm like, my God, I feel like I've had the flu for 2 months.
Who's a nurse, and she's a dear, dear friend. And like, it affects her social life. It affects her ability to travel. It affects her ability to work. You know, and so managing her symptoms is like a job on top of her job.
Well, and
she's
not
alone. She's not the only American who's like that. Yeah. And now we're taking healthcare away from people.
Raising my hand on that one.
We just disappeared the loss.
Yeah. And losing your dad during that time, you know, I lost my dad years ago, and that was very, very difficult. But the COVID was, a lot of times you didn't get the closure you needed during that, the beginning of COVID. And it was just traumatizing to lose somebody.
Oh, it was terrible. And we had his shiva via Zoom, you know, which in one way was good because my best friend from growing up who lives in Australia now could be there. And, you know, my cousin in Portland and so on, but it was an incredibly weird time because you were alone in you were trapped in the house with everything. So I guess that felt a little Victorian. It just felt very like, all right, we're moving on. You know, if you were someone who's like, yeah, but wait a second.
Mm-hmm.
And it was also, it's interesting because there was also this interesting me, it appears in the book in my own story, but not other. I had other friends who'd lost parents, and there are a lot of people, I am not recommending religion unless you want it, where we were raised, you know, I am a secular Jew, and other people who are raised by atheists or people who are kind of new age. And it's like, what is the ritual of mourning in the modern world? And I think there's something to be said for ritualizing, and I don't care what context that's in for you, for any given person, but it was just like, you know, I can't go out, you know, I don't go out in the village green and like rip my clothing and scream. So do you do? I don't know. Maybe you do want black bunting on the door. You know?
I see how people would reach out to some of the spiritualist, you know, the connections that you could have with people after they pass. I see why people want that connection. You know, I know when my dad died, I desperately wanted a connection with him. The one person you need to talk to is the one who's not there. And so I see how people are drawn to it, and I see how you can be drawn to it today. So I just, I think it's interesting. And there are a lot of people doing that work still, but it just kind of shifted.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's funny. It's funny. I don't know why my brain just went to this, but I, you know, people have those jackets for their dogs that say reactive or like, don't pet me. It's just, I think sometimes for people in grief, like, or for people in distress, we would do very well to have the equivalent for humans where it's like, don't talk to me, I'm sad. Or please, like if I start crying in the grocery store.
That like, is so true.
Some patience. So if you could just have some kind of vest that was like mourning, you know, angry, you know, there is no, I'm from New York and I'm, you know, kind of punk goth. I always wear black anyway. So, you know, it's
But
just,
I get that, because if somebody broke their leg and they're walking up to the store with crutches, you would go, oh, let me get the door for you. At least here in the Midwest, we're super kind. We're always very helpful.
But New Yorkers are cool.
Yeah, but you know, most people will do that. You're going to help that person because you see that they're having difficulties. But because it's grief, you don't see it. And that person could really use you opening up a door and being kind. You know, it's that they don't see it.
So, you know, and it depends. You know, people need different things. Like some people are like, I just need everything to be normal. I need to go back to work. I need to whatever it is and not have everyone feel sorry for me. I all those reactions are legit. All those different reactions are legit. But there is no widow's weeds anymore. You know, Victorians had an incredibly complicated set of regulations about when and how much and how deep and, you know, how much crying and how alone you have to be. And
And there was dates put on it. It's like, you have to be grieving properly.
Which is also ridiculous because there are days where it just happened and there are days where I'm like, I'm okay, I'm happy, you know? And so I think it's something we can also learn from, however that works for people individually, but about that, I think grieving is not, death and grieving is really not something we talk about enough. And we're, you know, very dismissive of like, you know, you lose a friend, you lose, you know, you lose a teacher, you lose a pet. There are all sorts of different and layers of and levels of grief, especially as we come to understand chosen family. People are like, shouldn't you be over this by now?
Yeah.
You know, I know people had horribly abusive relationships with their parents. And when the parent passed, they felt a form of relief. That, you know, it may seem cruel, but that's kind of understandable. Versus, you know, I have lost friends that I still, there are days when I'm, you know, it's still like I think of them and it's just a knife in my heart. And that happened years ago. So we tend to think of it as linear and it's not. It's really a roller coaster. It goes up, it goes down, it goes away, it comes back. And just having less of that formal way of dealing with it is, I think, is hurting us.
Now, before we end this, I want to get back to this question that has nothing to do with the book. But I saw in your bio, because, of course, I do a little deep dive into everybody. But you did mention being a sideshow performer.
Yes.
Sword swallower, fire eater, blockhead. I'm not sure what that is.
I can hammer nails into the middle of my up my nose.
Shut
into the middle of my head.
And pain-proof girl.
Yes.
Not sure what that one was.
That's bed of nails. I've done stapling. It's pain resistance.
Is that kind of a mind over matter thing?
Yeah, the old joke is once you've lost your mind, it doesn't matter. Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, it's one of those things like, this is just going to hurt a lot, but I am going to get applause and money at the end.
True.
It'll make up for my childhood. It'll make up for being an unpopular kid in high school.
But the thing about the sword swallowing and fire eating, I'm like, okay, you could do all the prep work, all the training necessary leading up to the first time you do that. But there has to be a first time you try it.
Yeah, and they're nuts. I cannot explain to me. Somebody told me this would happen. The woman who trained me is a great artist named AV Fibes, who now lives in Mexico and has a gallery there, El Alacron. Please go visit. And she's like, look, you're going to see the torch come toward your face and your arm is going to pull the torch away. And it has nothing to do with your brain. Like your lizardy brain. It's like, don't put fire in your face, because it is just like our most fundamental programming is like fire. Bad. You know,
the and sword right, going into my mouth, like there, there would be a point where, like, yeah.
And it happened. I was just like, that's nuts. You like your arm is like, nope, out of here. Mm-hmm. But you learn and you get more comfortable with the idea, like, I am in control of this.
And I guess you could probably start off with a short knife and not go directly to sword.
You have three gag reflexes. So you have to work your way down. And one of the first times I got a sword down, I pulled it up and there was red on it. And I was like, oh my God, I've cut myself internally. I'm going to die. And I'm going to have to go to the hospital. It was the hospital my father worked at. And he's going to then come in and die of embarrassment for his idiot daughter. And it turned out that it was like the meds I was taking were in a reddish capsule and it kind of melted. And I did not cut myself. It was medicine. But it gave me a slight heart attack. And then I was like, oh, I did it. And then it took me another month to bring it on stage, because like I would freeze up and
I get that.
You know, yeah. So, you know, some performers are really like, they're so like fearless. I am not that performer. You know, they just can swallow a whole arsenal and, you know, curved swords and wavy swords and, you know, all sorts of things. And I was just like, I'm just going to get a really good talking act and one sword will do the trick. So I am not a master of many.
I'm impressed that you can do it at all. So hats off. Cause I was like, when I read that, I'm like, girl, that's amazing.
That one sword has gotten me incredible. I mean, I could probably do more than I do, but that's generally speaking my shtick, but it's gotten me far. Like, you know, I've been on TV. There's no way they would, you know, like in any other context, I don't act. I can't sing or dance. They're like, yes, get me a middle-aged lady who can.
I'm your girl. I can do that.
Yeah. And so like, I'm not a conventional beauty or a Hollywood size. So it always kind of makes me laugh that it's like, yeah, I've worked with Rob Zombie, you know.
Just crazy.
So, yeah.
When we spoke to the dead, how ghosts gave American women their voice. Best place to get that? Anywhere books
anywhere
are sold?
You get it.
Okay.
Anywhere fine books or audiobooks are sold. Bookstore.com is, bookstore.org is good. Because that'll support your local.
Yeah. And I like to always ask because, you know, sometimes people like to sell them directly through their website or something.
No, I like to leave that to the professionals.
Well, this was a great conversation today. This is a topic I've been wanting to talk about for a long time.
Lovely to talk to you.
So thanks for taking the time to really go in depth with it today.
Thank you.
And that wraps up our conversation with Ilesa S. Carter about her new book, When We Spoke to the Dead, How Ghosts Gave American Women Their Voice. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, you can become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you so much for listening.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boost and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boost and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.